Since today is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, it's only appropriate that we have the Word, the Lord, bring the Word to us through one who's gone through persecution. Hamid has been with us. Some of you may know Hamid. He's been here with the Farsi Fellowship. Hamid is from Iran, and he escaped to Turkey and was there for a few years, and now is in the States here with us, going to seminary at Redeemer, soon to be Reformed Theological Seminary in Dallas. And so Hamid is going to bring us this word from Acts 14 about the persecuted church, and it comes from one, as we know, who's been through it already and is going through it. Now, one more quick thing before Hamid comes up. Hamid's message that he's going to bring to you today from the word is printed, and it's also in the back out in the foyer. As you leave today, you can grab it. If there's anything you wanted to look at for more detail or had questions on that he says today, you can take one. If there aren't any more back there, we printed enough copies, hopefully, but if not, just let me know and we can print them in the office. Hamid, bring the word to us.
Good morning, Town North. How are you today morning? I hope you have a good morning today, my brother and sister, and welcome to Town North Presbyterian Church. I'm so happy to be here in this beautiful morning in the first day of fall, I guess. And I hope all of you set up your watches and bring back 1 hour. Today we want to, is an international day for a specific day for us, for a persecuted church. And I will ask you that please pray for all of the persecuted church around the world, specifically in Iran, Syria, Iraq, Middle East, North Korea, China. Christians, more of the faithful than ever before, are suffering during this time because they will not deny Christ. This is the main key that we are persecuted. We don't want to deny Christ. This is a message from all of churches around the world that they are persecuted. They persecuted because they are not denying Christ. And Christ and Christians are facing growing persecution around the world, mainly by Islamic extremism and repressive government, like as Iran. But please lift up before the Lord our persecuted brothers and sisters from countries around the world. Everyone loves to hear the good news and nice story. As a Christian, we specifically love to hear the stories that tell us how when everything seems lost, then God, our Lord, opens and makes a way to praise His name, to glory His name, and He makes a way for us. But most of the times, His ways, it seems, is not easy. And we hurting, we are suffering during His way. And this is not important. John 3:30 says, we must be decreased and then He must be increased. This is a confession of our life as a Christian. We have to be reduced and then He increased and His name will be increased. As a Christian, we must be understand that everything that we have is belonging to God alone. Our life, our body, our soul, our money, our family, our children, everything that we have is belonging to God alone, nothing else. 2 Timothy 3:12 is for us that indeed all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Salvation is certainly free. We will not pay anything for saving through Jesus Christ. But at the same time, it costs for us, and we have to pay it with our life. As a Christian, we all suffer. This is a clear by example in Acts 14, as Paul is stoned and dragged out outside of Lystra, left for dead. Bible and church history also shows us that we are, as a Christian, persecuted because we tell people the gospel. Our suffering is useful because it gives us an opportunity to show the world how much more valuable Jesus Christ is than anything else that we could ever lose. Persecution also is good because it shows us that we are on the perfect track and we are following our Lord. The book of Acts chapter 14 is almost the conclusion of the first missionary journey of Apostle Paul. So today we look at to the verses 19 to 23. Please open your Bible and read Acts 14, 19 to 23 with me. This is the word of God for us today, and it can be trusted. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city. And on the next day, he went on the Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter to the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Thanks be to God. This is a God's word for us. Let's pray. Father, we pause before you today, and we ask that your name be treated holy in our hearts and in our lives and in our actions, and cause everyone here to grow deeper in the relationship with you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for everything that you're doing, Lord, among us. We look forward to what you're going to do in our hearts, and please open our eyes and mind to understand your words. Please use us for your glory in the Jesus' name. Amen. If you look at to this passage, we will figure out that the verse 22 is the main verses here. And specifically, the word tribulations is a key word in this passage. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Today, specifically, we want to look at the scripture that why do tribulations happen? How God's sovereignty causing tribulation and persecution, and as a result, tribulations are useful for us as a body of Christ, and it causes that the God's word is springing out. Tribulation and persecution happens because it is promise of God. We are believing to covenant of God. Everything that we talking, preaching, finally is narrowed to a covenant. God has chosen to communicate to us, to redeem us, and to guarantee we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Biblical testimony point to that fact that God covenanted when he created the world. One of the famous covenants in the Bible is God made Abraham, the father of many nations, and give the whole land of Canaan to his descendants. Circumcision is the permanent sign of his everlasting covenant and promises to Abraham and his descendants. This truth that revealed in the Bible is the basis of the Christianity. The Bible is covenant document. Old covenant and new covenant. Through the covenant, now in new covenant, when we approach the God's word, we recognize that God has given us a lot of promises. There are many promises found in the Testament, that the famous one is God promised Abraham three specific things, that he will be made into a great nation, this nation will be led into the promised land, through Abraham all the people of the earth will be blessing. Also, God promised to Moses that said, God tells Moses that if Israel obeys him, they will be his chosen people, his treasured position. Ultimately, this blessing will be extended to all people in Exodus 19, 5-4. So God is dealing with us with covenant. And through covenant, he gives us promise. One of the bold promises that we receive in God's covenant is tribulation and persecution. The Bible clearly states and promises that Christians will be persecuted, and the persecution of Christianity and Christians in the New Testament is an essential part of early churches and early Christian narrative. Until our narrative in 21st century, we can confess that for 2,000 years as a Christian, we are persecuted. Jesus Christ, our Lord, promised us that first only because of his name we are persecuted. Because tribulation and persecution happened for us because of this cross. This cross separated us from this world. John 15, 18 to 21, Jesus said, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as it is as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world." We are chosen out of this world, and we are separated from this world. We are not belonging to this world. This is our differences from the other religion, other people that are living in this world. Are we ready to separate ourselves, our life from this world? Are we ready to, for the sake of Christ, we are living in an opposition way of this world? Are we ready to say no to anything that acting against God's word and willing? This is our Lord's willing, that if we follow him, then we will be persecuted. It's very easy. If you follow me, you will be persecuted. Our answer to this question, which how we follow Christ Jesus, will change our life, our Christian life. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. It's not easy. Leaving Christ, when I converted, some people told me that you are changed and you want to be Christian because it's too easy. I said, no, absolutely it's not easy. Christian living and every day is not easy. God made his covenant with us through his begotten Son. Are we ready for the kingdom of God? We have the opportunity to be a part of his kingdom if we separate ourselves from this world and be ready, and we must be ready for opposition and persecution for the sake of Christ and God's kingdom. We have to prepare ourselves for the God's kingdom. Tribulations and persecution happens because of God's sovereignty. God and his sovereignty have ordained and caused, and his providence brought the Iranian Revolution to Iran in 1979, and it causing a lot of Iranian Muslims to be disillusioned with Islam. We have been praying that God would do something with Arabs, with Turkish people, with atheist people, with other Muslims around the world, that pushing them to disillusion with Islam. And as we know God's sovereign, maybe that why he's allowing that so much of awful and evil things happening by Islam, and it could be the answer of prayers that we do every day, that God in his sovereignty is allowing all of these things to make Muslims disgusted with the false religion, with the false God, with the false practicing, because never in history they are disillusioned with their religion. God chose the Iranian government to show to the Iranian that this is a false one. And in 1979, Iran experienced the extremist Islamic government. During the first decade after the Islamic government, between 1979 to 1989, the Islamic government in Iran, they murdered a lot of Iranians just because of their different political view under the name of Allah and Islam. And also in the meantime, all Christian missionaries were kicked out from Iran. Evangelism was stopped and outlawed. Printing Bible is prohibited. And churches came under tremendous pressure. And many feared that the small Iranian church would very soon cease and die. This is a truth that churches were not active at the same time before the Iranian Revolution. But our God as a sovereign God and almighty God is working among Iranian Muslims. He lets that Iranian, because of the violence in the name of Allah and Islam, has widespread disillusionment with the regime. And people ask this question that, what is our belief? The people in Iran, if you're talking with them, they said, and ask, okay, what do you believe? They don't know, because they don't want to. In their heart, is completely different with everything that they act in. During the second decade of Iranian regime, they persecuted the Iranian church, the Christian church. For a result, more Iranians have become Christian in the past 35 years than in the previous 13 centuries that the Islam came to Iran. When I was in Iran and I working in Synod of Presbyterian Church in Tehran, usually we ask that how many Iranians came to Christ. Nobody knows. It's hundreds of thousands after the Iranian. But just we know that before the Iranian Revolution, less than thousands Farsi-speaking people that with a Muslim background, they came to faith. And the rest of them are Armenian and Assyrian. But after revolutions, hundreds of thousands of Iranians came to faith, and they converted from Islam to Christianity. God used these people and sent out this new generation of Christian people to the labor of his harvest, as his labor to his harvest. Some of the church's leaders in Iran have been murdered because of their faith in Jesus Christ, and the persecution is intense and severe. Reverend Hossein Sudman, my pastor's father, was tortured, abused, and hung on December 3, 1990. Bishop Haik Hafsepiamer, the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God Church and first president of the Council of Protestant Church in Iran, disappeared on January 1994, shortly after defending another believer named Reverend Mehdi Dibaj, and his body was found a few weeks later. Bahram, the son of Anglican Bishop Dehghani Tafti, was also killed. Reverend Tataus Mikaelian, was the previous head of the Synod of Presbyterian Evangelical Church, was disappeared on June 29, 1994. And government thought that, okay, we killed the head of the churches. But I'm a person, and I can testimony that my testimony is after this time. God chose those people because of his kingdom. Who can say that Jesus Christ brought earthly peace for us? We have not earthly peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Are we ready to pay the cost for our belief to Jesus Christ? We have to come into the kingdom of God with a lot of tribulations and persecution and suffering. It's not easy when we are living under persecution. It's too hard, but it's joyful. We have a lot of rejoice in our heart. If you're talking with Reza and Shahnaz, that's it over there, Brother Hussein, Eli, my wife, each one of us experience a different persecution and suffering. Our family, they rejected us. Our friends, they rejected us. But we know one thing, that we have God. We worship our eternal, our holy God, and we know him. He saved us. He redeemed us. We cannot sell it. When I came to faith, my grandma, she came to me and she cried. She said, "Hamid, please come back to our faith, to Islam. I will give you this house. I will share all of my income with you. What do you want?" I said, "Nothing. I cannot sell my faith and my Jesus Christ with money." Then, after a short time, I found myself homeless. So, tribulations and persecution is useful for us because it's causing we grow up in our faith, regardless of our situations. We experiencing tribulations and persecution because of his name alone. Furthermore, we have peace and rejoice in our hearts that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you explain what does it mean the Son of God to Iranian, they never hear about this one. They never know that what does it mean. But if you ask them Christian, Iranian Christian that with the Muslim background, they can explain that what does it mean because they experience it. I cannot explain it, that how Iranian church and Iranian believers, they're fighting to keep this one, that Jesus is Son of God. We are sinners, and now Jesus, he redeemed us and he saved us. Now we know how he's truly God through the Jesus Christ, and we have personal relationship with him. Tribulation causing, regardless of our situation, it pushed us to just only focus on him. When I came to faith since 2005 till right now, I work in a Bible software because in Iran, printing the Bible is prohibited and limited. So when I outreached the people, I found that, look, it's very difficult to find a Bible. I working on Bible software. In 2007, when I went to military services for 3 months, every day the religious court in military area asked me that, why you are Christian? Why you are here and you say that I'm a Christian? Because your name is Hamid Reza, your father's name is Muhammad, your mother's name is Cobra, but why you say I'm a Christian? I told them that, do you know why? Come here and sit. For 3 months, I spent time with them in the military area. My commander told me, they will send you to the border to fighting with Taliban. I told him, okay, I don't have a problem to go in there because I believe that if God sent me there, the someone else must be hearing the God's word. And if I will be there, I will be happy. And do you know what happened? After 3 months, one of my commander, he came to faith. And I told him that, do you know why I must be here? He said, why? Because I told him that because you must be hear the good God's word. And among all of this commander and mullah, God chosen you. And this is I'm here just because of you. And I don't worry if they want to send me to otherwhere, to a border or somewhere else. We are just focused on the God's word, that how we have to use ourselves to outreach the other people, to spreading the God's word among other people and neighbors. As a Christian, the effective of this belief in our daily life is summarized in 5 verses. The scripture made it clear for us that if we want to be called as a Christian, we must be walking with him every day, regardless of what is our situations, what is our needs. As scripture says in Matthew 6:31-34, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all, but seek the first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day, its own trouble. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So everyone who acknowledges me before man, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before man, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This is the short summary of Christian life under persecution church, that we are not anxious for our needs because we believe God provided for us. We are not anxious about our situation, our life, because we believe that nobody can touch our soul. They can kill us, but they cannot touch our body. they cannot touch our souls. They can destroy our body. And but we believe that in a resurrection day, we will be spend time for eternal life for Jesus Christ. We believe that in Islam, we have a Sharia rule that names taqiyya. Taqiyya is meaning if someone come to you and ask, are you Muslim? If your life is in danger, you can say, no, I'm not Muslim. You can save your life. When I came to faith in my first night that I read the Bible, this verse came to me that you are not allowed to reject my name. Because if you reject my name, I will reject you on before my Father in heaven. And you do not need to worry about your needs. And when I came back to my town and shared this one, my father asked me, okay, Hamid, did your research about Christianity is done? I told him, yes, it's done, and now I'm Christian. I believe that Jesus came to this world and saved me from all of my sins. And he went on the cross for me. That's not the end of this. And he rose in the third day. And he said, after a while, okay, please get out. You cannot stay with us because you're doing the wrong act in Islam. I told him, okay, I would love all of you, but I love Jesus Christ more than everything. I cannot reject him. I don't know what's happened for me. I don't know what thing will be happen for me and what is my future. But I know just one thing, that I trust in God. And after 14 years, I'm here in front of you all. God doing amazing. And we are not important. Just we have to focus on God, that how he wanted to use us to outreach the people. We are not important. We have to be decreased. Then his name will be increased. As a Christian, these verses that I read for you must be our mission, that we sharing gospel with everyone whom we meet. If you're thinking in this way, absolutely you may face tribulation in your life. Maybe we can say we have freedom here in the United States. God bless America. But we don't know what about future. What about our children here? But we know that we have to be staying strong in God's message to the world. All of the people that they are not living in Christ, they are in opposition way. Does not matter, Iranian, Chinese, Russia, or American. If they are not believed to Jesus Christ as their Lord, they will be spending eternal life in hell. Does not matter what they believe. But you can ask that how God's sovereignty is causing tribulation and persecution for us here in the United States of America. The type of persecution and tribulations here in the United States may do not be the same as the way that we persecuted in the Middle East, but tribulations and persecution can arise against us culturally if we stay in our Lord's. For instance, are we ready for the sake of Christ and his kingdom refusing the same-sex marriage? Are we ready to say no to abortion, to everything that doing against the Bible? Maybe nobody comes here to arrest us and arresting for our faith, but are we ready to say no to everything that against the Bible and against God's willing? You can expand this question to everything. I don't know. I'm not living here for a long time. We came here for almost four years ago. So we can expand this question, that what in our culture is against the Bible, we have to say to them no. We are not required to follow them. We have to say no, this is not the God's word. And absolutely, our enemies will not be happy. You know, we are in a battle. We are fighting every day. Our fighting is spiritual. We are as a reserved soldier in our Father's kingdom. Someone in Iran, in a country like as Iran, they persecuted and they killing. And we must be ready as a reserved soldier, be ready to go to that battle and fighting in a spiritual and with our enemies. Dear brothers and sisters, through many tribulations and persecution, we must enter to the kingdom of God. And suffering, tribulation, persecution will be happening to us if we follow Christ Jesus with all of our heart. As same as Apostle Paul, we must be saying, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. O Lord, if my life is gains to me, I would consider it loss for the sake of Christ. This is our confession, that we are happy to release everything that has stopped us and not leading us to the Christ. If we stay strong in our faith and living in the opposition way of this fallen world, but not by only power, but by the Holy Spirit, we make our house on the true rock that no one can shake it. Romans 8:35-39 will be our confession. Does not matter which countries we live, in Iran or in the United States. We can say now, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor hate, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Dears, our answer to this question, that what is our response to tribulations and persecution for the sake of Christ, crystallizes our Christian life. Our Lord's harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. And if we are ready to enter to his kingdom, sometimes we have to pay the cost and accept tribulations and persecution. Are we ready to putting away all of our anxiety about our daily needs and just seek first his kingdom? Are we ready trusting God that nobody can touch our souls, even if they kill us? Are we trusting God that and acknowledge his name before men, before our enemies, that we say we are Christian? Are we ready to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow him? If our answer is yes, it means that we will be ready to tribulations and persecutions. We are ready ourselves and training ourselves to that battle that God will send us later. Through many suffers, tribulations, persecution, and opposition, we have to enter into the kingdom of God. And this is our Lord promise when he chose us from this world. And he gave us this promise that because of his name, the world will hate us and we accept it. Today, we have Lord's Supper, and we're doing it in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. It reveals us that how we received all the promises in the Old Testament and New Testament through the blood and body of Christ. In this new covenant, and it shows us what is our identity. We have unity in Christ, and we receive a new identity, and we are joined to the Lord's Supper today. Christ Jesus gives us heavenly identity above of our nationality. We have an identity in Christ alone that no one can steal it, we cannot lose it, and for 2,000 years, Christians persecuted, but churches are growing very fast. Someone thought that in Iran or North Korea or China or Russia or Arab countries, they will destroy the churches. They killed Christians. But I will promise you that in the future, a new believer, they growing up very fast. If they kill one, then 10th of other believers, they're growing and they rise. Before and after Islam, Islam is, doesn't matter because it's not only the religion that they persecuted the Christian. Before and after Islam, Christian persecuted. Persecution shows us that we are committed to our Lord and His church as His body. It might be, will not be facing any type of tribulation in our life and persecution in our life, but we are ready to pay this cost. When we're talking about persecution, it doesn't mean that, okay, someone will come here and persecute us. No, we are thinking that, okay, God, we are ready to be persecuted. If anyone comes to us, we will do it and we will not deny your name. If we are not persecuted now, but we must be recognized that persecution is only against Jesus Christ and His body. And if we are a member of this body, body of Christ, and another part of this body are persecuted and suffered, so this persecution is related to us. We cannot allow to ignore it. According to Hebrews 3:13, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. I encourage you and ask you and beg you that please pray for another Christians that they are in prison, their churches under persecution. And every day, Augustine of Hippo said, "O Lord, our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you." Amen.